Job chapter 39. It's a wonderful thing to be at the right place, at the right time, with the right people, doing the right thing, but make sure you have the right attitude and a right spirit. This speaks of being in the center of God's will. Now that I have crossed the timeline of 70 years and then some, I am very conscious of how precious that time really is. Here's a little jingle with a sharp truth to it. In time, take time while time doeth last. For time is no time once time is past. So now I have adopted this new motto for my life. As a preacher, I aspire to inspire before I expire, if you get my point. Now, I marvel at the times that the Bible uses examples from nature to illustrate spiritual truths. Right. Jesus said, consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin, yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Now, folks, we'd give a lot to see Solomon's riches and Solomon's glory. But we can look at the lilies every year and see God's glory. He said, behold, the birds of the air. They don't toil. They don't labor. They don't build barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. And interesting, so many things in nature that we see this. Now, there are 7 verses in the book of Job that are used to teach us character. And that being our text, the spotlight of the message today actually will be on a horse. As in any parable or in any story, be careful not to miss the spiritual application. And remember, the illustration is always designed to clarify a deeper mystery of biblical truth. That's what we're after. And so before getting to my personal story, let's read God's instruction to Job by way of the workhorses, or I might say the war horses. Job chapter 39, look at verse 19. 39 verse 19. He says, hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? He's asking Job these questions. Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted. Neither turneth he back from the sword. I can see these horses. As they were a horse that is raring to go. He wants to go. They paw the ground before them. And so he goes on to say, the quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. Now this speaks of mortal danger. But these horses, normally horses would be scared of this. Not these horses. Why? They were trained for what they do, trained for battle. He says he swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. I mean, these horses were mad at the enemy, and they wanted to get going. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha, and he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. These horses were bold. They were daring. They were not afraid. Heavenly Father, as we look at this scripture, I pray that you help us to see things that would help us to walk closer to our Lord, to gain strength for the day and courage for the battle, and to be bold in doing what God calls us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, perhaps I have a greater affinity for this particular story because over 60 of my 75 years, told you how old I am by mistake there, but 60 out of those 75 years was lived around and with horses. And for 45 years, my living was made solely from horses. For 25 years, this was after we came out of the Amish, I owned and operated what we call the Mark Twain Clopper. It was a horse-drawn wagon where I hauled tourists in the historical town of Hannibal, Missouri, Mark Twain's stomping ground when he grew up as Tom Sawyer. And so, yes, it was hard enough for me to harness and hitch the horse. I had a special bench made where I could stand on it and pull the horse harness from the wall and put it on the horse in parts because of having polio when I was 2 years old. That forever impacted my life. But I just thank God I'm still mobile. And so, but when I dropped into the driver's seat, let's just say my work was easy from then on. And in other words, the horse did the hard work from then on. Now, he did my walking, and I did his talking. I told him if he'd ever do any talking, I'd do some fast walking. But oh, how I enjoyed those days. I got to meet people from all over the world. I got to witness the people on that horse and wagon. But my objective today is threefold, folks, to stir you up for the things of God. You see, it's God's people that are stirred up for God that get things done. The Bible says it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. We need to be enthusiastic of what we are doing. And secondly, to encourage you to stay in the harness. That's the title of the message today. Stay in the harness. Galatians 6:9 says, "Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The faint not means quitting. Giving up. And number three is, it'd be wonderful to see decisions made today, commitments made today, rededications to the Lord. And so today, the Bible says, we have a choice. God said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 30, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that you and your seed may live." And I want to talk to the young parents today. You may not be thinking about this, but right now, by way of your young children, you're already raising your grandchildren, in effect. Because what you teach your children will be taught to the next generation. And so, may we continue the work until the Lord comes back. Now, being a tour guide, driving a wagon, had this wagon painted up real nice and put the name on the side. It was a red wagon with a white top. And fringe, had red fringe around the top. I could haul 10 or 15 people in there comfortably, depending a little bit on the size of the people. And so, but it was a 20-minute narrated tour. I would tell them about historical facts about Hannibal and about the town. It was right on the banks of the mighty Mississippi. And so, yes, the fence is still there that Tom Sawyer painted. Now they changed the boards and they changed the posts over the years, but it's the same fence. And so I love to tell some jokes along the way. Would you like to hear them too? So we were driving down Main Street. I would say, folks, you've noticed these buildings, though they were built in the 1830s and 1840s, they're not very tall. The tallest one was 4 stories. Most of them were 2-story and 3-story. I said, "Can you tell me why they didn't build them any taller?" Well, they came up with some weird answers. Somebody said they didn't have tall enough ladders. I said, "Come on, New York City already had skyscrapers." It wasn't that. But after a while, when they couldn't get, I say, "You see, if they'd have built them any taller, that would have been another story." Now, some of you don't get that, but wait. It'll catch up with you on Bot Tuesday. I'd say, as we go along, I said, look at my horse. Did you know that this horse has got more hair on one side than the other. Boy, they would look at the horse and say, I can't tell the difference. Really? I said, really? There's a significant difference. I said, can you tell me which side? At least make a guess at it. I said, if you guess it right, you get a reward at the end of the tour. And so they would guess. And once in a while, there'd be a smart aleck that would get the answer right. And so I'd say, okay, at the end of the tour, you get to kiss the horse. And so, but here, when they couldn't get it, I'd say, don't you think that the outside has got more than the inside? But my goal was for everybody to have a good time, have some fun, have some entertainment. Because, by the way, when we spend money to go to be a tourist, we do it to have fun or to have a good time. But I wanted to also give them some useful information along the way to make them feel that they got their money's worth at the end of the tour. And here's a golden nugget of truth for you to think about. People may not remember much of what you said, but people will always remember how you make them feel when you talk to them. In the 25 years that I did this, I had 6 or 7 different horses. And some of these horses, I can't even remember their names. I've forgotten them. But today, I want to talk about my favorite horse. I'll never forget his name. His name was King. We lived on a small farm, and we had some other animals on the farm, but I guarantee King was the king of the farm among the animals because he was a Belgian. So he stood head and tall, head and tail, taller than the other horses, not so much by way of just physical size, but because of his likability. He was a very good horse. He behaved well. He was obedient. And most important, he was faithful. I could count on him. And when July the 4th came, it would be the busiest day of the year. I wanted to make sure I had a horse that wasn't going to cause me any trouble. I dare say that Job's war horses were a lot like my horse named King. But these are characteristics that God wants to see in his people. Paul says, moreover, it is required of a servant that a man be found, amen. You got it, faithful. Amen. Faithful. Faithfulness is so important. You don't have to be the most intelligent man in the room, but we can all be faithful to our calling. And so, now, King, my horse, had a happy life. The kids that rode with me, oh my goodness, did they enjoy the horse. They would pet the horse, and they would give the horse hugs. Yeah, I would watch closely, because I didn't want the horse to step on him as they give his front legs a hug. I always carried a bucket of apples or treats along with me, day old groceries, and that because horses like bread and buns and so forth. And I would allow the parents to swing their little kids up on top of the horse for family pictures. And they'd gather around. Well, guess who was always in the center of the picture? The horse. I dare say he's still on a lot of pictures across this country. And so he had many fans, King did, and ever so many family pictures were taken of him. Now, King was a special horse. He had strengths, I mean lots of it. I want you to imagine 1,800 pounds was his weight, and that was mostly muscle. And with that kind of muscles, with that kind of strength, King could have wreaked havoc. He could have turned my wagon upside down. He could have destroyed property. He could have run away. And with me and with my ability, yeah. The key was that King yielded his strength to my wisdom. That is so very important. He had a happy life because he yielded himself. Look, he could have tore things up one day, but that would have been the end of it. He'd have went to the glue factory. Don't ask me any questions on that. And so he yielded his strength to my authority. Now, if King was to fulfill his purpose in life, he had to submit to a higher authority with superior knowledge and wisdom than what he had. And that's exactly what you and I need to do, to yield ourselves to a higher authority, to a higher power, that because the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. And that's what he says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you submit yourself, yes, to the authority of God. Galatians chapter 2 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of God. Think about that. That sounds like a contradiction. By the power of God who loved me and gave his life for me. The power of Christ. Yes, submission is very, very important. And because I had polio, it's hard. Many people find it hard. One of the hardest things is to put a bridle on the horse, because those horses can raise their head and raise their head higher than what you tall fellas can reach. And think of me, I can't raise my hands. I couldn't reach up. So let me tell you what King did. He put his head all the way down so that I could reach his head to put the bridle on so I could control him the rest of the day. It was an act of submission. But it was a willing submission. If he'd raised up his head, kept his mouth shut, I could have never got the bit on him. And there's no way I could have had him do what he was supposed to do for the day. Yes, submission is all about a relationship. The reason he willingly submitted to me was because of a relationship that we had. When people are not submitting to the Word of God, it's a relationship problem with the author of the Word of God. And so the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen. Psalms 128 says, everyone, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. You want a happy life? Be God-fearing. Be God-fearing. And out of the 25 years, here's a day that I will never forget. King and I were leisurely parked, waiting for the next passengers. I couldn't take anybody that didn't volunteer to come on the wagon. So as we were waiting there, a little girl saw the horse, and she was up the street. The street was an incline. It was blocked off, so traffic couldn't. Only pedestrians were on that street. And I was parked at the end where I loaded the people. And she came running down toward that horse. She was less than 3 years old. And she was running ahead of her mother. Well, when she got down to the horse, she was running so fast she couldn't stop. So she ran right into his front leg, front right leg. I can still see it happen. Now, when you bump into the horse's leg or you tap on his leg, he raises his foot. When he raised his foot, that little girl's bare leg slid right underneath where that foot would come back down on the street. And this happened so fast, there's no way I could stop it. When King put his foot back down, he felt the softness. And I'm told that horses don't like to step on something that is soft. And so instead of putting his foot all the way down, which would have been the case many times, and then raising the other foot gently, he lifted that foot the second time. When he lifted the foot the second time, the mother was right there and scooped up her little girl, and she was not hurt. Oh, my goodness. She was crying, but more of just being frightened by the situation. But somebody else was frightened about the situation. That would have been me. Because that could have ended very, very differently. Yes. I could already see the ambulance coming and picking up the little girl having a crushed leg. And I can see the police car following, ready to take me and the horse both to jail. But that was just another mark. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. You see, some of these youngsters had never seen a horse, and they got excited. One day, I had a teenager. teenage girl that came down, stood beside the horse. The horse was taking a nap. Did you know that horses can sleep while standing up? And she stood there looking at the horse for a while, and she looked at me and said, "Sir, is this a real horse or is it a mechanical horse?" I wanted to say, "Step a little closer and smell the horse." And so, now, on that day, I was very pleased with my horse, with King. It could have been so tragically different, the turnout of that day. Now, King and I had a special communication that we communicated that we understood each other. And it was a secret between me and the horse, and it happened once a day. I would tell the folks, "Well, at this time, we're going to go off course away from the pedestrians, and King will go to potty there." Didn't want this to happen on Main Street. And so we did, and the folks were watching. And this was most astonishing to the horse owners, whose calm response was, "Driver, how in the world did you teach that to your horse? You see, you can teach that to your dogs, but not a horse." And so I would say, "Well, come back next year and I'll tell you." It was a way of plugging business for the next year. Now, I do say this, treat your animals well. The Bible says that in Proverbs, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. Treat your animals well. That's with the exception of house cats. I just lost part of my audience. But you fellas know exactly what I'm talking about. Dogs don't have that attitude problem, but cats could sure have an attitude. So while I'm not for this animal rights thing, I'm all for animal welfare. We are called to take care. God tells us to take care of our animals. Now, King actually was a lot more famous than he ever knew. One year, I was touring a charter bus all the way from Colorado. It was loaded. It was not much bigger than a school bus. It was loaded with third graders. And while I was on the, it took a number of tours to get them all hauled. And on one of those tours, a boy said, "Hey, driver, we got this horse and buggy picture of this in our social study book." I thought, yeah, they got a horse and some rig in there, and he relates to this. But at the end of the tour, one of the teachers came and said, "Sir, we do have this picture in our book." I said, "Really? I'd love to see that." And she said, "I'll send you a picture." I gave her my address. She did better than that. She sent me the book. And so I still show it off to folks, a social study book. Another time, my insurance agent called me and said, "Mr. Yoder, I sent you one of our company calendars. I want you to look at the picture on September, the month of September." And yes, there he was, King. And my rig was featured in a full-size calendar picture. I don't know who took it or when it was taken, but there it was. And so, yes, King was very special. I dreaded the thought of ever having to replace him. I suppose it was an earlier generation of horses, just like my King, that gave rise to the phrase, "It was just horse sense." It was good horse sense that taught me to do that, or that showed me to do the right thing. And folks, I say this today. Today, horses in general have more sense than the average Democrat, the average politician. Yes. On June the 13th, 2003, it was a beautiful day. The temperature was perfect. It was a cool day. And King never broke a sweat that day during his pulling. And he started out the day his usual self, full of equine energy. He was waiting at the gate to start his day. He loved what he did. Oh, there was times I encountered with the animal rights people. They would come and tell me what an awful thing I was doing, how terrible I was to the horse. And I wondered if they don't know how the West was settled. But anyhow, I would always be very friendly to them. Because did you know those are actually dangerous people?
Yes.
And so by the end of our conversation, I usually had them petting the horse and offered him a free ride and so forth. But on this day, this would be a special day because I had a group of 40 Girl Scouts that were scheduled to ride at 1 o'clock. I set that time apart from nobody else would be riding during that time when the Girl Scouts came. And sure enough, it was a block away. I saw them running my way, highly excited, ahead of the adults that could not keep up with them. And as they started piling on my wagon, I said, "Oh, girls, we can make this in 2 trips so you don't have to be crowded." And they said, "Oh, no, we want to go on. We want to be on the same tour." So I said, "Okay, we'll see." Well, they all got on, and even the adults got on. The last one, a rather portly teacher or mother, got on, and so we were off on our way. I mean, as we went down Main Street, they were hanging out of both sides of that wagon and just having a wonderful time. Heads were turning from both, and I loved the advertisement that did. And they were cheering, turning heads as we clip-clopped down Main Street, and it added to the merriment of the hour that they sang the official Girl Scout song. We were having a wonderful time. We hit two blocks on Broadway. We went down Main Street. We had this included a roller coaster. It was just a big dip in the street, but the horse would always speed up. I mean, those girls cried like so many Comanche Indians as we went through the roller coaster. We went down along the Mississippi River, and what a blast that they had. When we got back, they were just petting the horse, and they got to feed the horse treats, and the teacher said, "Come on, we have to go look at the Mark Twain home." Those kids could have not been less interested in that dusty old home of 150 years old, but they wanted to be with the animal. But finally, they got him to leave. But I bet to this day they still cherish vivid memories of that special day when they got that ride 22 years ago. I myself was relishing the goodness of the day as we headed back towards King's Stable. That was a half a mile up, right along the Mississippi River. And King always stepped higher and trotted faster as he was on his way back to the stable, because he knew what was awaiting him there was a generous mess of sweet mix. That is dried molasses with crushed oats and corn. Ah, he loved it. And so suddenly, as we were going along the way, looking ever so scared, I remember him raising his head up real high, as if he was seeing a ghost. Then he slowed down and stopped. He started shaking and trembling all over. His legs wobbled and buckled as he fell on his right side. Mind you, we were just a half a block away from where he would be in the stable. As he fell, crack went the shafts on the right side. I heard myself say, "Oh, no, King, get back up, please." And with great effort, he struggled hard to rise again. "Yes," I said, "yes, King, you can do it." Only to see him fall again, and now he fell on the left side and broke the shafts on the left side. And so I jumped down off the street, off the wagon in the street. Just as I did that, I saw his head drop to the street. The best horse I ever owned was dead, stone dead. I knelt in front of him with both hands on his still warm nose. As I looked into his still open eyes, glazed over, lifeless, I wept. I cried. With my wagon and dead horse in the middle of the street, it was good that I was on a quiet side street. And I was so I started thinking, what if this would have happened 2 hours earlier? If this would have happened earlier, can you imagine how it would have traumatized those girls? Or the people looking on, if it happened on Broadway with traffic or Main Street, it would have created a terrible street scene. But it struck me to my very heart as I looked at King, he was still in the harness. In fact, he was still hitched to the wagon. Amen. With shoes on all 4 feet. That means King was faithful to the very end. Speaking of the end, God says, oh, that my people were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Folks, it's good to start out well. It's even more important to end well. How will you end up is a good question. Good question for all of us. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Dear God, burn this lesson deep in my heart. Never to give up. Never to give in. I want a holy desire, a divine passion, the relentless perseverance to end strong in my Christian life. To stay in the harness. Now you know where I got the title. In fact, I want my feet shod with the gospel of truth, as the Bible refers to. I wonder if somebody here now may be under tremendous pressure right now with a heavy responsibility. It seems too heavy for you to carry. It's overwhelming, the workload that you're carrying. And you're tempted just to get out of the harness, just to quit. Truth be known, we all experience discouragement, folks. You're not alone in that. We all have experienced defeat, and none of us wants the disapproval of those around us. David said this. He said, fearfulness and trembling have come upon me. Terror hath overwhelmed me. There's very few times the Bible uses the word overwhelmed. But David, a man after God's own heart, was overwhelmed. And folks, we're not above that as well. He went on to say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, I would wander far into the wilderness and remain there. Hold it, David. You're the king. You wouldn't be happy in a desert. Folks, you're happiest when you're doing something for the glory of God, when you're working in his vineyard. And so, yes, I'm saying the temptation, therefore, is to get out of the harness when we get so tired, when we get overwhelmed. Just think about it. If King would have went out of the harness, and he could have been out in the pasture. But out in the pasture, look what he'd have missed out in his life, just being under a shade tree. The pasture speaks of comfort, of leisure, of shade trees, and resting. But in the pasture, you won't make a difference. The only way that will impact a generation for Christ is for us folks to stay in the harness. Right. To be hitched to a cause that is bigger than our life. Amen. Incidentally, folks, nothing ever great happens from people living in the comfort zone. Right. Stay in the harness. The last breath that King took, he was still in the harness. The last steps he took, he was still pulling the wagon. I think it's kind of neat for every once in a while you hear of a preacher who died in the pulpit, died while he was preaching. Wouldn't be a bad way to go. So the last steps he took, he was still pulling the wagon. The last command that was given him, he was still doing it dutifully and willingly. He was obeying. So I'm saying, let's you and I stay true and faithful to our calling. And though we are tired, we must not quit. Folks, it's not a sin to be tired. It's not a sin to draw aside and rest a spell. Paul admonished the Galatians, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice the if there. The Bible says God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Stay in the harness. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your work in the Lord is not in vain. Yes, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, I challenge you today. I plead with you. I urge you. Keep going. Keep going onward. Keep going forward. Just keep on keeping on. Yes, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, as Paul put it. Never ever yield. Never give up. Never quit in this good work. If you do stumble and fall, get back up again. The Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times. The difference between him and the unrighteous is the unrighteous stays down, but the righteous man gets back up again. Folks, you don't have to apologize for stumbling. Just get back up again. And so remember to stay in the harness. Let's stand together. And after I pray, the piano will play and we'll have invitation time. Heavenly Father, thank you for the life, the opportunities, the blessings you have so graciously given us. Help us not to grow weary. Help us not to faint. Help us not to give up. But much more, stay in the harness, O Lord, that we might hear that blessed voice of our Lord and Savior. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Lord, all these things we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.